to worship and adore the Lord our God.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, a message from God's Word brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message in its entirety again, to download it, or to choose from a variety of other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, log on to WGCRpreaching.net.
If you have a copy of the Word of God this morning, turn with us, please, Book of Luke, chapter number 15. As you find your place in God's Word this morning, I want us to take a trip down memory lane. And let's go back to the moment that you first met Him. Amen. When you found out that He loved you. Well, that was an amazing day to me. I didn't know how to love until I found out that you can only truly love biblically through the love of Christ that liveth within us. And I want you to go back to that day when you first met Him. And I don't know, I'm sure your testimony would be a whole lot like mine. Aren't you glad that when you first met Him that you were forgiven? Amen. The greatest words I believe a man's heart can hear is forgiven. Not that man would forgive you, but that a thrice holy God would say, I forgive you of your sin. Amen. Of all of your sin and wickedness toward me. Forgiven. White, clean. Boy, that's a good thing. Amen. I want to go back to that day when we first got saved and it felt like we couldn't do anything wrong. Amen. It felt like the nearness of God was just, I mean, everywhere we went, His presence was there. You've experienced that, right? I mean, man, you woke up with, I mean, there's something in your soul that was overflooded. And it was the presence of God. As you'd open up the Word of God and God would speak to you through the Scripture. And as you prayed, you knew that God heard every word that you said. And you could even hear and feel His presence in answering your prayer in your life. How you had such zeal for God and you'd witness the light poles if they would listen to you long enough. How you wanted to tell others about what Jesus had done for you. How that He had set you free and made you whole. How that you had an excitement to come to the house of God. Didn't know why, but you wanted to be at the church every time the doors was open. Monday night prayer, I want to be there. Sunday morning, Sunday school, I'll be the first one there. Men and ladies prayer room, I want to find my spot. And as you'd get there and sing in the choir and some of those songs, maybe you sung for the first time, but how there was something that flooded your soul as you sang praises unto God. How that the preacher would ask for a testimony and something inside of you would jump up and say, I've got a word to say. And about all you could get out is, I sure am glad I'm saved. Oh, how there was an excitement bubbling up in your soul that you was headed to the city whose builder and maker is God. How that you knew not only did you have, amen, the peace with God, but you had the peace of God. How you could pillow your head down at night and, amen, you could rest peacefully and wake up the next morning and know that your life had purpose and to know that God was now the great director of your soul. Oh, yes, you remember those days. And I'm not being in this on a negative note, but those are some great days. How that you'd lead a soul to Calvary and they'd be saved. How that somebody come and ask you questions about what the Bible said. It was your light and your soul and your testimony that caused them and drew them unto you. Amen. How you could talk and testify with another on the job. And before you know it, both of you were broke down in tears. Amen. How you could just testify to those of like precious faith. And you get to testify and something in your soul would jump up and just holler, hallelujah, in the middle of the workplace. Yeah, you remember those days, don't you? And then somewhere along the line, something happens. I don't know if we just get used to being saved. I don't know if we just kind of get used to the blessings of God. I don't know if we just kind of get used to God over and over. Remember how when you first got saved, Brother Scotty, and God would answer those prayers that seemed so small to the world but so big to you, and God would answer them. Amen. Just how you'd rejoice in God answering, hearing, and answering prayer. I knew that He could answer other people's prayers, but when He began answering mine, it was a whole different day. And now God answers our prayers day after day. And I, we just kind of get the place and say, you know what? I'm just kind of used to it now. Amen. I believe God wants to help us in this service today. Here in Luke chapter 15, I'm going to preach this a little different than I've ever preached it before. But I believe it'd be the message of the hour. Been a good time thus far. It has been. But amen, I want to preach this morning on the prodigal family. Amen. The prodigal family. You say, well, wait a minute. It's always, Luke 15 is always the prodigal son. And I want you to know this morning that when there's a prodigal in the family, it affects everybody. I believe we can glean some truths this morning from God's Word. Amen. Why God would lead us in this direction to preach this on this service, I don't have any clue this morning, but I promise you one thing. If God would be so pleased to touch the preaching of God's Word, if God would be honored to open up our hearts this morning and for us to receive a word from God, as the prophet said one time, is there a word yet from the Lord? What we need in these last days is a word from God. And then our hearts be open and receptive to that word. And us saying as Bible believers, as Christians, as followers of Christ, that we could leave the house of God different than when we came in. I don't know about you this morning, but I don't have any desire, amen, to leave here worldly. I want to leave here heavenly. Don't you? Amen. I want to know that when I walk out of the house of God, that I can look over at my wife or my two boys in the back seat and say, boy, God met with us this morning. God did something for me this morning. And I'll tell you one thing. When God does the work, my friend, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. We all know Luke chapter number 15 this morning. But I want to read the scripture to you. And I want to look at this prodigal family just for a little bit. And you may be here today and say, wait a minute, preacher. We're here. We're not prodigals. Amen. We may not need this today, but my friend, we may need it tomorrow. So let's hold on to what God gives us in this day and this hour. Let's let Him minister to us and through us. May we sit in our places and our hearts be open and saying, God, I'd sure like to hear from You this morning. Lord, I'd like for You to visit me and my pew and me and my family. And God, I'd like for You to do something great and marvelous in my life. And I'm looking at a group of people this morning that God wants to do great things. Listen to me this morning. God wants to do great, big things in our lives. And sometimes we get to the place we just forget about all the good things of God, don't we? Let's be honest. We get to the place and we're so blessed that we kind of get used to it. And this morning, let's get the used to washed away and saying, God, I don't want to get used to it anymore. I want to live blessed and be blessed. And God's Word teaches us that. And Luke chapter number 15, look with me if you will in verse number 11. The Bible said, and He said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and divide unto them. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. You notice the exclamation point there? Amen. He wasn't just saying this in a general context. He was making an exclamatory statement. He said, my father's servants have plenty enough to eat. And he said, I don't have nothing. And mark that down. This is an exclamatory statement. Then the Bible says there in verse number 18, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. The Bible said, verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, help us, Lord. God, you know what you've given us, and I pray, Lord, that you'd move in this service. God, I pray you'd give us clarity of thought. And Father, please, Lord, I pray the Holy Ghost would anoint us this morning and use us. God, may this be the hour that a soul would, Lord, hear from heaven. Lord, maybe a family would hear from heaven. Oh, God, and say, Lord, we don't want to be in our way, but we want to be in your way. God, would you just do that which I can't do this morning? Would you just show up? And God, would you minister to us and through us? God, be honored in all of our lives, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, would you be honest and say this hour that when we read this scripture, all the focus seems to be on this man that left. Would you not agree? When you read it, you look and you say, well, it's just that man and that man only, and the call is coming out that man, that he may find his way and come back home. And every one of us here knows somebody that's saved by the grace of God, that are not where they need to be, doing what they need to be doing. They're out in the fields of this world, serving the world more than they're serving God. Every one of us here knows somebody that is in that shape. But I want you to recognize in this scripture, you're going to find out this is a family problem. Hey, man, it's not just a one-man problem. This is a family problem. That's why we want to say it's the prodigal family. Can I say this morning, mamas and daddies, you may have some youngins today that are cold and indifferent on God, and they're not serving God. If you'll be honest, it affects you too. Hey, amen. You're trying to live for God and do for God. And hey, amen, you want your youngins to be right with God and serve Him with all their heart and love Him and be faithful and live in His blessings. And it's a hard thing to look out there and see they're not serving God. It affects you, yes or no? It does. My youngins are at home right now. And so I have the joy of knowing that they're going to be here. Why? Because I tell them they are. But there's going to come a day when they're going to leave home. I can't tell them what to do or what not to do. They'll make their own decisions, and I pray they'll be the right decisions. And any bad decision will not bring along a result that will kill them. Amen. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, you understand what I'm saying. But we see here it's a family problem. You say, preacher, tell us, how do you know it's a family problem? Well, the Bible says this in verse number 12. Let me start off with verse number 1, or number 11. He said a certain man had two sons. This ain't just about one son, it's about two sons. Can I say this? And you take this, I think we can take this physically in our own lives. I think we can take it spiritually in the local church. When somebody leaves, it doubles the work on somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, man, when one son leaves, his portion of work is now put on the other son, and he's going to do double time. I believe we can gain some truths from that, even in the local church. When one kicks out, when one quits, when one goes another way, that which they was doing for the Lord now becomes a burden of the church. And somebody's going to take on that responsibility. Yes or no? Amen. Then we see in verse number 12, the Bible said this, and the younger of them said, the younger of the two sons, he said unto his father, he said, Father, give me the portions of good that falleth to me. And the Bible said he divided unto them his living. I want you to notice, if you will, this request that was made. This young man goes to his dad and he said, Father, I want you to give me. If that's not the mindset of the world in these last days, pray tell me what is. Give me, give me, give me. My sister and I, she has a shirt that she wears at Christmas time, and she said, it's a big old sweater, and it says, Christmas is time for give me, or Christmas is a time for giving, so give me, give me, give me. Hey, man, here in a couple months, we'll be saying the same thing, won't we? Give me, give me, give me. Hey, but he said this, he makes this request to his dad. He said, Dad, I want you to give it to me. He tells his dad, the Bible don't say this. He goes on farther to tell us what he's going to do. But his dad goes to his dad, tells him, I'm getting ready to do this, and I want you to give it me. He said there in verse 12, give me the portions of good that falleth to me. Would you not agree that in this scripture we find out that it seems like it's all about him? Sometimes we get that way spiritually. We say it's all about me, 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 me. And all of a sudden the father said, you've lost focus. It's not about you. It's all about me. You see what I'm saying? This thing will go many different directions this morning, but I believe it'll help every single person that's in this service, whether you're lost or whether you're saved, whether you're in, whether you're out, whether you're on your way back out or on your way back in. It'll help every single one of us. You say, preacher, tell me, how does this affect the family? Well, first thing I see, it causes division. He said unto me, he said, give me that which is due me. And the Bible said he divided it, what? Verse 12. Bible said he divided unto them his living. The first thing I see in a prodigal family, it causes division. Man, he takes the two of them here. He's got one that's staying, one that's leaving. He takes out that living. Let me go ahead and get this in our minds this morning. This will help us. It was not theirs, it was his. He was dividing unto them what belonged to the father. He wasn't dividing unto them what belonged to them. They didn't rightfully get it. Amen. He was gracious enough to give them, amen, his living. You understand what I'm saying? So it wasn't theirs to begin with, it was their father's. And he takes the one son and he gives him his portion, and he takes the other son and gives him his portion, and all of a sudden I see in the family division. This prodigal family starts off with a vision. The Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter number 3, verse 25, if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Can I say again this morning in the context of this thought that the devil is in division? You mark her down this morning, the devil is in division. God operates in multiplication, and the devil always divides. So we find out this request is made, and in this request it all of a sudden brought division amongst the household, and this division is going to weaken this home. It's going to. You take the trusses in your roof and cut them in half. Tell me how strong that roof's going to be. Not going to be too strong, is it? Amen. You take the horsepower, if you got a V8 and cut it down in half to a V4, you ain't going to have the same power that you had. You understand what I'm saying this morning? He made a request, and this quest caused division. Then you get to verse 13. The Bible said, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Can I say this on this thought this morning? He didn't leave when he got everything that was coming to him. The Bible said a few days after. That tells me that he hung around the father's house days after that, right or wrong. He hung around the father's house. And I can imagine now, he may not have said it to his servants, and he may not have said it to the other, but the one brother knew he was leaving, and the daddy knew he was leaving, and here now he's severed, there's division, and he hung around the father's house. Can I say this? He still had some resemblance of his father as long as he's in his father's house. Even though those days in his heart, he has already said, I'm leaving. In his heart, he said, I am making a run for it. But as long as he's in his father's house, he still had some resemblance of his daddy. He was still under his daddy's authority. Daddy says, go to bed at 9 o'clock. You know what he did? He went to bed at 9 o'clock. But I'd say as he laid in bed at 9 o'clock, he'd say, as soon as I'm leaving, I'm staying up as long as I want to. Or you say, you're going to eat this for supper. Wonder how many times he laid in bed at night and said, when I leave, I'll eat anything I want to eat. Y'all with me this morning? Or the daddy said, on Monday you're going to mow the grass. On Tuesday you're going to feed the livestock. On Wednesday you're going to do this. On Thursday you're going to do this. And he'd pillow his head at night and say, when I leave, I'll do none of it. You see what I'm saying? So we find out here that he made his request that he wants to leave. And now we find out in this verse that there becomes some rebellion. I don't see it written on the paper, but I can see it in my mind. He is rebelling. That's why he's leaving home. Yes or no? Can I say this morning? And I love every person in this service. Every one of you, love you. Lord knows I do. They, some of you here, very well possibly in this service, you've already, in your mind and in your heart, you've already said, I'm going to leave. I ain't talking about leaving the building. I'm talking about you're saying, you know what? I'm stepping out. I'm going to hang around for a little bit longer. And you say, well, how do you know? It proves itself. I think there's things that are solid. I believe he probably slacked in his work. Did y'all think that? He halfway did what he was doing. Sometimes you can look at people, and I am not being judgmental this morning, but you can look at people that are on their way out, and you can almost pick them out and say, they're almost gone. Almost gone. They ain't doing near what they used to do. They ain't staying. And when they do something, it's not near as what it used to be. They used to have some joy when they do it. But now all you get is complaining when they do it. Am I preaching right this morning? It's not hard for us to pick out and see what's going on. It's not hard for you to look at me and know if I'm cold, if I'm hot, if I'm indifferent. It ain't hard to figure out. But we see here he becomes rebellious. He said, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. He said, I'm going my own way. I'm talking about the prodigal family. Can you imagine the conversation of mothers never mentioned in these scriptures? But can you imagine a husband and a wife that are laying in bed at night and the lights are off and they can't see each other, but they can hear each other? And that husband tells the wife, so-and-so said he's leaving. Mama says, where's he going? He didn't say. He just wanted me to give him everything that was coming to him. And she says, what did you do? And he says, I give him what was his. And she says, what did you do that for? Because it's his. I'm his father. I promised him some things, and I will live up to my end of the promise. There's some good spiritual stuff I'm talking about if you get a hold of it this morning. Amen. There's God has promised us some things, and those promises will still come to pass. Even though mama may say, why are you still giving it? Because God says, I am a father that promises, and I will keep my end of the bargain in the promise. Can I say this before I go any further? I'm getting ahead of myself. Before you got saved, he come looking for you. And after you got saved, whenever you left, he didn't come looking for you per se. We'll find that out in the scripture. You say, why is that? Because he doesn't put home in your heart. You never forget that. Amen. There is a GPS that says capital H, capital O, capital M, capital E in the inside of your soul, and it cannot get away from home. No matter how far away you may get physically, you will never forget where home is. I'm preaching right this morning. I want God to help us. The Lord knows my soul. We see this rebellion. Amen. He still had a resemblance of his father. He was still in his father's house. He became to be resistant to his father's authority. You see there in verse 13, the Bible said this word his twice. He took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance. That was the father's substance, but now it's his because God gave it to him. You understand what I'm saying? How important is it we handle the things of God right? How important is it we handle the blessings of God correctly? I wasn't even thinking about this, but I look at my own children right now and think that God give me my children. The Bible said our children are a gift. They're a gift from God himself. He give them to me, and he says this, you better handle them right. Now, Brother Nathaniel, I love you, I do. But I can't love you the same way I love him. The same as your daddy can't love him the same way as he loves you. But Brother Randy, what a responsibility you have with this one. God said, this one is yours. You handle him any way you see fit. And God said, this one is mine. I handle him any way I see fit. And what's my purpose? I better handle him right. You know what my job as a father is? Listen up, dads. I fail miserably at this. But my responsibility to God is to raise him up and raise him up to a place that God can use them. My responsibility is to provide a home that is conducive to serving God. Now, I tell both my boys this, both of them. When you leave home, you make your own decisions. It's not my fault. Brother Jeremy, all we can do is raise our children the best we know how, according to God's word, the best we know how. We're going to fall miserably short. Just go ahead and mark her down. We are because we're in this flesh. But we try to raise them up. When they leave home, it's God's responsibility. And their responsibility. It's fellowship. It's fellowship. It's relationship. How many of our songs we sung this morning, amen, even deals with wayward going on and coming back and open arms and how God desires a relationship. So we see this resistance to his dad. He's got big plans in his mind. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. He cared more about himself. Verse 13 through 16. Bible said we know he left. He spent all he had. Bible said he joined himself a citizen of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed swine. Verse 16. He said this. He said he would have fain filled his belly with husk and the swine that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I see something sad here this morning. Listen to me now. Let me ask this question. How close are you to God? That may just be the whole question of this whole thought this morning. How close are we to the Lord? That's a good question. Let's don't worry about who's sitting beside us or who's in back of us. Or who's in front of us. And let's just examine ourselves this morning individually, male, female, boy, and girl, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the greatest, 1 being the least. How close are we? How close are we? How close do we want to be? See now, Brother Scott, I see the ruins. This fellow's ruined. I'm skipping over some stuff here because I'm going to get to something. He is flat out ruined. I preached this message before using other thoughts. So some of y'all heard that. He spent everything he had. Can I remind you? It wasn't his. It was the father's. The father gave him the inheritance and he didn't handle it right. Yes or no? He took it. He spent it. But this amazes me. You said, I thought this was about family. What? Prodigal family. The Bible said he was in a very pig pen. He was feeding the pigs. He would have gladly ate the... He said, gladly. He said, but I have what? No man to what? Let me see exactly what that said. No man gave unto him. Can I say this morning, he had no family. It's a prodigal family. He had no family. He's sitting there with nothing to eat. And he said, I ain't got no family. Can I throw in something else? He says, I ain't got no money. I ain't got no finances. I'm broke. I'm broke. Not only did he not have no family, nobody to help him. Not only did he not have no finances, he had no food. He said, I'm starved. Y'all get this picture this morning? Sometimes in the church, you can be sitting here and you may say this morning. I have no family. You know why you have no family? Because you've shunned yourself from your family. Let me just preach for a little bit. Amen. It's everybody else's fault but your own. From your point of view. I'm not being ugly this morning. I've got some in my family without mentioning any names. Mama, that'll blame everybody for where they're at. And it's not us. It's them. They've got the spiritual problem, not me. Amen and amen. Point your fingers, talk about me all you want to. Blame it on me, but when the rubber meets the road, it is your problem. Brother Daniel, he couldn't blame it on his brother. Although we read the scripture, we know his brother wasn't right either. He blamed it on, amen. He said, I ain't got nobody to help me. You know why you ain't got nobody to help you? Amen, because you left everybody. You closed yourself up in a little room. You said, I don't want fellowship. I don't want this. Amen, I'm not happy. I'm not this. That's good preaching. There's a lot of God's people that have closed themselves up in a little tiny room and said, I don't want any nothing. I ain't got no finances. This is a good one here. As I was looking over that, you know why he didn't have? He had plenty of finances when he stayed at home. Let me give you something here. This will help you. This will help every one of us. You know why he didn't have no finances? He mishandled his father's money. The money that should have been going into here was now going out there. Let's stay there just for a little bit. I'm not meddling. I'm just saying this is the truth. We start getting cold on God, the first thing we do is mishandle God's money. But he took his father's money and he mishandled it. What he should have been putting in the offering plate for his tithe, he quit. I'm preaching right this morning. What he should have been putting in the offering plate for missions, he quit. What he should have been putting in, what God told him to put in the building fund box every week, he's quit. What God's told him to put some change in the change box when they come through, and he's quit. And you're sitting there saying, well, preacher, that's going to leave me broke. It's his money. It was the Father's money. It was the Father's money. It was the Father's money. Can I remind us that the tithe that I put in, and I'm not preaching on tithing, he mishandled the Father's money. He bought boats and cars. And vacations and all this. And all of a sudden he's in the middle of the world. And he said, I ain't got no money. You start mishandling what God says to do with what he tells you to do with, my friend. Well, the preacher's supposed to say that. Let me tell you something. I paid the price for that. Mark her down. When I left the house, when I was saved and I left God, I paid the price. I started spending my tithe on other things. Some of you here this morning, I ain't meddling. I don't know who does what. I don't know a thing. But amen, if the Holy Ghost says, then what do? You just follow God. Do you realize this morning, and you know our finances, if we quit tithing, we quit giving to missions, and we quit giving to building, and we quit doing, then we wouldn't have nothing. So it ain't much. God ain't wanting you much. He just says, hey, just handle my money. He said, just handle my finances. Y'all with me this morning? Have I killed this thing? In person, we're here, but you know, spiritually, we say, preacher, I'm just like that prodigal son, and it's causing some havoc on the family. It's not God give it to us. Everything we have is his. And he said he mishandled the finances. So now he's broke. He mishandled the food. And now he's starving. He's laid the food bucket down and now he's starving to death. He said, I ain't even got nobody to read it to me. He said, I ain't got nobody to feed me. But wouldn't it be a sad thing? Wouldn't it be a sad thing if we woke up this morning and come to church and none of our pastors showed up? I'm not saying anything that we're great or anything of that nature. Amen. But God puts some high importance on His pastors. And if we'll do what we're supposed to do, and you do what you're supposed to do, then God can do what He's supposed to do. Wouldn't it be a sad thing if we just sat here this morning and we just wait on somebody to get up and nobody ever gets up? Come back tonight and nobody ever gets up. Come back Wednesday night and nobody ever gets up. Would we starve? We would to some extent. We would. He had no food. He had no finances. He had no family. He looked around and said, man, I ain't got nobody. This morning, if I could encourage this crowd, let's get out of it. Let's get out of our little closets. Amen. Let's open up and let's get back to where we need to be for the glory of God. All that testifying I did about when you first got saved and what a joy it was and how good God was, let's get back to that place where we can just enter back into the presence of God the Father. Let our last days be our best days. You say, preacher, are you done? I'm not even close. But I want to give a little encouragement along the way. He was in ruins. The Bible said that he became a member of that country. And he put him to work in his, H-I-S, fields. I've been amazed at that in my Bible. Who is he in his field? If he wasn't in the Father's field, whose field was he in? The Bible says plainly, he and his, in that verse, he and his. He put him to work in his field, feeding the swine. I'd hate to think I left the Father's table to sit down with a bunch of pigs. But yeah, that's what we do sometimes. We see this man, what this young man had, he left. It's affecting the family. It's affecting the family. He's in ruins. At this point, I thought about this. At this point, he's went as far as he can go without dying. Would you agree with that? He's went as far as he can go without dying. And all of a sudden, a great thing happens. He comes to himself. Can I say there's a family that's grieved? There's a mom and a daddy at home that's grieved. There's a brother he's cold on God because now he's got to do twice the work. You see how that goes. We see this family, this prophet family, his request, his rebellion, his ruins, his repentance in 17, 18, and 19, he came to himself. He came to himself. When he came to himself, I want you to think about this. He got to thinking about home. He was reminiscing about home. Bible said, let me read that verse 17. And when he came to himself, he started talking right in his mind. He's now talking the right things. I want to say something about this. It reminds me of the Lord. He wasn't talking about how bad his life was and all the bad things he had done. But yet he was focusing on his Father's house and how good his Father was. What a day. What a day. He was not focusing on all the bad. He wasn't focusing on. He'd already complained about not having food, not having family, not having finances. But now he wasn't focusing anymore on how bad his life was or where he was. He was focusing on how good his Father was and what his Father had at home. Can you see that? Can you see this fella sitting here? And I mean, he is to the end of his rope, if I can say it that way. And some of you here this morning, you're at the end of your rope. Truth be known, you are at the end of your rope. He got his focus off of him. And he started reminiscing. Oh, I remember. Oh, I can remember Daddy and Mama coming in that bedroom. Boy, and this is the security of being in that warm house on a cold winter. Belly full because I was able to sit at the table and eat all that I wanted to eat. Oh, and it was just the joy of sitting around and, man, just getting to open up the Bible and having Mom and Daddy read that Bible. Just the joy of bowing our heads around that table and hearing somebody pray. Oh, I just remember coming in there and Mama coming in there and tucking me in bed and saying my prayers and kissing me on the forehead and saying she loved me. I can remember getting up the next morning, Daddy having a warm fire. Are you with me? He starts thinking about how good his daddy was, how good home was. My friend, this morning, if you've ever been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've ever been what I'm talking about right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've never been there, I pray you never do. But he got to think about how good his father was. As we come to the end of this thought here, this prodigal family, he got to thinking. Amen. He got thinking about home. He got to thinking about rehearsing about what he was going to do. I'm going to say something this morning. Something that was talked about. I was talking to somebody else about this. The person made this comment. Something to this degree. They said, I'm just really ashamed of what I've done. That's a good thing this morning, to be ashamed of what you've done. And I feel like if I was to come back, I feel like that if I come back, that God's going to turn his back on. I heard this with my own ears now. God's going to turn his back on me. I feel that way. Can I just say that's a tool of the devil? That's the great lie the devil tells. And I told this person this. This is almost my exact words. I said, you need to understand. God didn't leave you. You left him. And then I was reminded in the scripture, in the book of Genesis, there was a place every day that God and Adam met. Every day. And it was a meeting place. It was a fellowship place. It was a relationship place. And every day God met Adam in the cool part of the day. They met together every day. And then all of a sudden there came a day Adam wasn't there. But Brother Jerry, you know who was there? God was there. You see, the greatest thing God desires from the human race is fellowship. Lest we forget that the only reason we have fellowship with God to begin with is because of His great love toward us. Because of our sin that we sinned against God and fellowship was broken, relationship was severed between God and man. But yet God loved us more than He hated sin. And He freely chose to robe Himself in flesh and descend from the very glory of the heaven world and walk on this earth for some 33 plus years that He might obtain eternal redemption for the lost, for the undone, for those that were unclean, that He might pay the price so that we could be pronounced clean in the eyes of God, lest we forget what He did for us. Church, this morning, it ain't God turning His back on us. It's us turning our back on God. God says, I've gone nowhere. He come in the garden in the cool of the day and said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam, because of his sin, and Eve, because of her sin, they literally ran and they hid from God. And God said, I showed up to fellowship. He said, I showed up to talk to you. I showed up to love on you. I showed up to tell you more about me. I showed up. You weren't here. Are you with me this morning? He said, I showed up. Don't you ever think God's turned His back, my friend. You may be here this morning. You're cold and indifferent on God. You're saved by the grace of God. But I mean spiritually, you're as far away as you've ever been. You're at the end of your rope. And amen, this morning, if God would be so pleased, He'd get your attention off of who you are and get your attention back on who He is and let you know there's a place at the table for you. The whole family pays for it. Then in closing, here we find this. He gets up. He said, I will rise. Boy, it's a good day when you get up. Can I remind you that the Scripture said that if we draw nigh to God, He'll do what? Draw nigh to us. He said, if you'll give me effort, I'll give you the increase. He simply says this, I'm God, and I'll do my part if you'll do your part. This morning, God in heaven is just waiting at the door. Can you see that this morning? As the daddy, I don't know how many days he was gone. I don't know how long. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But I believe, Brother Keith, that every day he stood at that. I just believe he stood at the door. And Mama would come by and she'd look up at Daddy and say, you think he'll come home today? I hope so. Darkness would draw and the sun would set. Time would spring forward and time would fall back. Day after day after day, Daddy stood at the door. I hope so. I hope so. I hope so. I can see the naysayers coming by saying, he's gone, he's gone. He ain't ever coming back. He's been gone for years now, Pops. He ain't never coming back. There's some of you here this morning, you're battling it yourself and your family. Folk you love, wondering, are they ever coming back? Yet the Father just stands waiting and watching. Hope so. I hope so. And we see this young man gets up and he's on his way back. He has repented. Can I say this about repentance? He has repented. He repented. You're going to have to repent privately before you ever going to have to get it right publicly. Amen. Amen. There's some things you got to get right privately before you'll ever be able to get it right publicly. There's some things you don't have to tell me about. There's some things you don't have to tell your family about. It's just between you and God. But when you start getting things right privately, it's going to cause you to get things right publicly. Would you agree with that? I would unto God, God help somebody today. His return, he arose and he came to his father. Amen. Can I say this in verse 20 and 21? That when he came to his father, he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. We see his return and he said, it's not about me, Dad. This thing ain't about me. Father, it's about you. Oh, the stories I could tell you in my own life when I was cold and indifferent on God, and I'll not tread that way this morning. But it's a miserable place. It's a lonely place. Yes, it's lonely. But the fella starts seeing some familiar territory. He starts getting closer to the house, and the closer he gets to the house, he starts seeing some familiar territory. Boy, it's a good thing when you start seeing familiar territory. It's a good thing when you start seeing some, the Bible calls them landmarks. It's a shadow, man. Amen. Oh, I think I will. Too many times I say I'm going to and don't, I just think I'm just going to start doing it. You start heading back to that place and you get back to that place where you used to climb up them laurel thickets and get alone with God and pray and know the power of God and the presence of God was with you. When you walk back in the house and you look at that place where you got saved, Brother Scotty Moody, and say, right there's the spot. When you get up in that choir and say, right here's where the glory filled my soul and I sing praises unto God. Here it is, familiar landmarks. Boy, that's good. You don't see those landmarks in a far country. You don't see those landmarks when you're in a faraway country. You don't see them. But when you get back close to the house, oh, but all those things are great. Those things are great. But when you see the Father, when you see Him, and you know in your heart that you've done wrong, and you know in your heart that you've not been right, and you know in your heart that that fellowship has been broken. And you know in your heart that you're not where you need to be, but you see Him. Oh, but better than that, when He sees you. Oh, if I could get this out. No matter where you're at this morning spiritually, God loves you. No matter where you've allowed yourself to get spiritually, God cares about you. God loves you. And He's looking for you. Come here, Tommy. I can do this to you. I can't do it to anybody else. Maybe Timothy. But Tommy, you come. You stay right there. Matter of fact, go about halfway back, if you will. Can I embarrass you this morning? Is that all right? You see this, he had his return. He had his return. Before I tell you what I'm getting ready to tell you, or show you what I'm getting ready to show you, you need to understand where we're at and what's going on. You see, because we're not talking about this happening in 2012. We're talking about this happening in the day and the hour of the Word of God. And according to the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, verses 18 through 21, there was a price to pay for disgracing your family. You're going to have to get a hold of this. There was a price to pay. See, this wasn't just a house. This was a village. And there was a price to pay for being a disgrace to your family. And the price was you had to get stoned. And the people in that village would pick up stones. And they would throw those stones at the one that disgraced the family. See, it ain't like it is now. So we say, well, why did the father run? The Bible said he ran. Didn't say walk. Didn't say walk fast. Said he ran. You say, well, I think he ran because he was excited. I do think he was excited. But I think he ran in case any stones were thrown that he would absorb the impact of them. That just blesses me. Amen. That when stones would get thrown, he would run and cover me so that if any stones were thrown, I would absorb them, or he would absorb them. He didn't want me. I was in pain. Does that make any sense? Then the Bible said, he said, I've missed you. I love you, boy. Thank you. Oh, if God would help somebody this morning to realize he loves us. All he wants is fellowship. That is all that he desires, is fellowship. So he ran to his son and he kissed him all over. And if any stones were thrown, oh preacher, I'd come back to church. I'd come back, but people talk about me. Let him absorb the stones. Let him absorb the stones. Oh yes, the greatest lie the devil will tell you is they're talking about you, and they don't want you around, and they do this and they do that. Oh, but just get up from where you're at and come back and say, God, I want to come home, and the Father will run and cover you. And if anybody will throw stones, he said, I'll absorb them. That's good preaching. Amen. What about it this morning? I've tried my best to preach what God's told me to preach. I have. I've tried my best to be as sensitive to the Lord as I know how this morning. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you go through. I don't know what you're facing. But I'll tell you one thing, it was good around the dinner table that night. You said, how do you know? Well, the Bible said that the father took that boy and put that robe on him. That robe was a very expensive festival robe. It means we're going to have some festivities. Amen. Not only that, but he took that ring off and he put that ring on his son's hand, and that was a proof of our sonship. He said, I just want to let you know you're still my son. He put shoes on his feet because he wanted to let him know you wasn't going to be a servant. He said, I don't plan on you being a servant because you're my son. He puts that ring on his finger. Oh, what a day, what a day, what a day when we get back to the Father's house.
God's love and pray for sinners till I die.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message once again in its entirety, for a free download of this message or a variety of any other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, you can visit The Preaching Channel at WGCRpreaching.net. If you don't have download capabilities, feel free to call and order a CD copy of today's message at 828-884-9427.